the verses and words of our songs have meaning. They are not just beautiful tunes. Here are the actual words of verse 2. "And when I think of God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art." These are powerful words. That God would send his son for us. That Jesus Christ sacrificed his own life on the cross to take away our sins. What a great God. What great love to provide a means of salvation for us. God is certainly worthy of our praise. Our souls should then sing, "How great thou art." There are countless hymns and songs that proclaim just how great our God is. And this is our second week of our sermon series on worship. Last week, we learned that we are called to worship. That God has invited and even commanded us to gather as his people and offer our worship to him. And as we are called to worship God, we need to remember this. Worship is not a meeting about God. Worship is a meeting with God. And that should change everything for us. And a big part of our meeting with God, a big part of our worship, is to provide God with our praise. The psalmist in number 100 says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." And our command to praise God is not just in the Old Testament, it's throughout the New Testament. And we heard earlier from Revelations 4, it says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." God deserves our praise as our creator, as our Lord, as the provider of our salvation. And God deserves our praise in response for what he has done for us in our individual lives. Just a few weeks ago in our Christmas story, we read how Mary broke out in praise. And in just a few verses, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name." And our whole sermon series was about how great our joy, and we learned how Zechariah broke out into praise, how Elizabeth broke out into praise, how the baby John in her womb leaped for joy, how the angels gathered and sang, and the shepherds left praising God, and even the wise men, when they showed up later, they worshiped the Christ child. And many of the songs we sing today were written because of what God has done for us. Through a variety of circumstances, a man named John Newton went from memorizing Bible scriptures as a child to becoming a rotten and debaucherous sailor on the high seas. And his cargo was frequently slaves from Africa. The seas were filled with many dangers, toils, and snares. And during a heavy storm and fearing for his life, he was brought to salvation. And through his conversion, John Newton eventually left the slave trade. He became an ordained pastor and staunch abolitionist. And he's the one who penned the song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Another song written by a man named Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford in the late 1800s was a wealthy and prominent businessman. And he lost one of his sons, his only son, to scarlet fever. He lost many real estate holdings in the Great Chicago Fire. But he didn't lose hope, and he helped to rebuild his community. And to take some time off, he was going to take his family on a trip to Europe, and they were to depart from the New York City harbor. And while there in New York City, he got detained on business. So his family boarded the ship and went on ahead with him, and he was going to catch the next ship and catch up with them. And while on this trip, the ship in fog ran into another ship. The boat sank. His wife survived, sending him a telegram stating simply, saved alone, meaning that he lost all of his daughters on that ship. So he caught the next boat, and the captain on the ship knew what had happened. And they were traveling over the spot. And the captain came to him and woke him up and said, "Sir, to the best of our reckoning, we are now passing over the place where your daughters were lost at sea." And that night, after passing over that, he wrote these words, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." And not only do our songs tell of what God has done for us, many of our songs are rich in theology. And this was very important for a long time, because think about this. The literacy rate around the world in 1820 was only about 12%. So only 12% of the population could actually read. And today, the literacy rate around the world is about 84%. And, you know, really high in most of our Western societies. And writers like Charles and John Wesley worked hard to make sure that proper theology was put into songs, so that songs became a means for people to share biblical truths with one another when they could not read or write. Songs like "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," written by Charles Wesley, tells of the prophecies of the coming Messiah. Charles Wesley also wrote "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," which reminds us of the scriptures from Matthew and Luke. And here is a lesser known one to us called "Soldiers of Christ Arise." This was written by Charles Wesley to help teach people about the importance of the spiritual armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6. It says, "Soldiers of Christ arise and put your armor on. Strong in the strength which God supplies through his eternal Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts and his mighty power, who in the strength of Jesus trust is more than conqueror." Now, even though most of us can read, even today, these songs help us to remember the scriptures. The power of music can help us keep this command from Deuteronomy 11. "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds." And throughout the Bible, the phrase of putting God's word on your hearts is repeated over a dozen times throughout the New and Old Testament. Now think about how many songs you may know by heart. I'll bet many of you know more songs by heart than you do scriptures. So putting scripture to songs helps us to remember God's word, and it's a powerful way to share God's word and to share our testimony. I mean, think about it. The words of amazing grace alone are a powerful way to share what Jesus can do for someone. And if you know the words to that song and someone says, I'm not worthy of Christ and I've done too much, you can say, no, God's grace is amazing because he can save even a wretch like me. And we could cover so much more about the hymns. We could do a whole sermon series on just hymns. But the last thing I want you to learn about the songs that we sing is that our hymns help us celebrate a lot about the church, us as the body of Christ. Because we have songs about baptism, songs about communion, songs about our heritage, songs about our Christian mission, songs that take us through the Christian year. I mean, if you ever take time just to go through it, on the top there's indexes and subjects and all kinds of things in our hymnal. They're organized in a very important way. You see, the songs that we sing are more than a song. And when we come here and sing these songs, they have a purpose, they have a meaning, and we need to share them like they have a purpose, like they have a meaning. They're more than just to entertain us. They're more than a song. Our final hymn today is a popular Easter hymn called He Lives. And like many others, it has a great backstory. Not only does this song help us celebrate the Christian calendar, not only does it relate to Scripture, it is an emphatic statement of faith. A Presbyterian pastor and songwriter, Alfred Ackley, was witnessing to a Jewish man who rejected the gospel by saying, "Why should I worship a dead Jew?" This question plagued Alfred Ackley for a long time. And he lived in California, and early one Easter morning, as he was getting ready, he was listening to a New York City radio broadcast. And the radio pastor said it didn't matter if Jesus was alive or not. And this angered Alfred, who stewed on it all day. How could a pastor on the radio say such a thing? His wife finally convinced him to sit down and write a song about what he felt. And as Alfred reread the Easter scriptures, the words of this hymn finally came to him. He wrote, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." Isn't that a beautiful hymn? Doesn't it say a great message about how personal our God is? We don't serve some God in a tomb. We don't serve some God that's made into an idol. We serve a living God, a God who conquered death, a God who sent his Son to die, to rise, and to live for us. A God that wants a personal relationship. Hear this benediction from the book of Hebrews. "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.